You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Here comes Brother Leland. Thank you. Hey, why don't you welcome those around you before you're seated? Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Welcome to the Rec Room. How many of you are here for the very first time? First time you've been to the Rec Room. We welcome you. If you'll keep your hand up, we'd like to hand you a little blue card. If you will fill this out for us and drop it in the purple box on the way out, we would appreciate it. What we'd like to do is send you the Luke's newsletter. We have some over here on this side, Seth. Kind of keep you up to date of what's going on with Luke's and with the Rec Room. And if you'll just fill it out, drop it there. If you're in Clover House, put down the date that you're going to be leaving and the address, if you know it, that you'll be going to. We'll start your newsletter there. As long as you're here, we have them. You can pick them up at the Rec Room all the time. That'll save us a little postage. Did you see the new butt cans? Freedom House donated those to us, for which we're thankful. It's going to make... Now, I'm not going to say you can't do it, because if I said you couldn't do it, somebody would prove me wrong. But it's going to make it a little harder to throw your cups in there. Going to make it a little harder to put a lot of paper stuff in it. What we're going to do, and I don't know if we got to this tonight or not, but we will have, I know we have a big trash can up front in that room over there by the door just before you come in here. But we'll work on having a trash can set outside for the cups, for the paper goods, and I think that will be of some help for us. Anyway, we thank them for that. There's always a new way to do something and appreciate that. Anyhow, I want to remind you, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, best breakfast in town.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you come and not only is it a great, good breakfast, it's a free breakfast. So that makes it a whole lot better for some of us. That's why, see, you can go invite a friend and say, hey, I'll buy you breakfast. And bring them over here.
Yeah.
See, it won't cost you a thing. So anyway, that purple box I mentioned to put your card in has got two functions. The other function is that... That's where we put money for the Rec Room Assistance Fund. Now, we don't pass the plate in here, and we don't beg anybody to give. We found out a long time ago, God's not broke.
Amen.
And I also found out this, you can't outgive Him. So if you want to help Rec Room people, and that's all that money's used for, it doesn't go for Cokes, doesn't go for coffee, doesn't go for donuts. It goes to help people. It may be something as inexpensive as getting an ID, or it may be something where we're helping with funeral expenses, which we've done that in here. And we're not trying to build up a savings account. We want the money to be used. And so if you have a need, I invite you to mention that to us. I thank all of my boards here tonight for the first time. Pam, would you stand, please, ma'am? Pam is on that committee. Where is Craig? There's Craig, and back there is Rick. These are the three ex-inmates that handle that account. So they're the ones you need to talk to if you have any. Don't come to me. They don't let me handle money. And if you've known me very long, you know why. So anyhow, they're the ones that work with that, and so it's for rec room people, and I just hope. Now then, we have special music, don't we, Charles? Okay. While he's coming, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our speaker tonight. He's one of my favorites. He's a very good friend. He's pastor of the Sherwood Baptist Church. I met him in an unorthodox way. An ex-inmate in the Smith unit recommended him to me, and he said, "You need to meet this guy." Said he's come over here and preached for us, and he lives. In that time, he was living in Andrews, but he'd moved down to here, and so I did. I learned to listen to inmates and ex-inmates, and we've become friends. And he's always, every time that I've invited him, he's taken the time to come and speak for us. So tonight, he's going to do that again, and he stays busy. And I thank him for taking the time to come. Anyway, our music people are here, and then as soon as they are through, then Brother Ivy Shelton will be speaking to you.
Thank you, Leland. I love those three X's that he's talking about that take care of the money. I have never been able to talk them into giving me a dime, though, so I don't know. How good y'all can do with them, but if you need money, they are the ones to see. We have a very special singer for you tonight, probably my favorite lady on earth next to my mama and my wife. She's our pastor's wife, Miss Kathy.
Just one sin, seeking forgiveness when your heart knows within that God will not judge us on how big or how small. He looks for Calvary's blood to cover it all. The blood. How this miracle took place. Love beyond measure, our God's amazing grace. Sometimes when we're weary, we might stumble and fall, but just one drop of His precious blood covered it all. Oh, the blood. Just blood covered.
thank y'all for having me here tonight. Leland, thank you so much for inviting me. I love to come speak to y'all. I love the chance to come preach the gospel anytime, anywhere. So it excites me and I always enjoy it. Now, Leland said a while ago, we don't beg you for money. And, man, I tell you, I'm going to have to work on where I move here because I'm going to get a ring. But I love the integrity of this man. And he is a man of integrity, and he loves you. And as I just think the world of him. With that being said, I'm going to preach to you about giving tonight. Of all things.
Amen.
Now listen, is it not true that God wants the entirety of your life?
Yes.
He wants all of you. Okay? So I don't want you to couch this just in terms of money tonight, because you would cheapen it, and I would cheapen it if I did that. Okay? Now you can apply it in that area, and you can apply it to many other areas of life as well. You can apply it to your time. You can apply it to any resources you got, your life, your family's life, etc., whatever God has placed in your hands. Now, hear me on this tonight. God does not need anything. God is sovereign. God is self-sufficient in Himself. He does not need our money. He does not need our resources. Now, I'm going to butcher this verse because I didn't write it down and I can't remember exactly where it is, but let me give you the gist of it. Over in Psalms, there is a verse that says that where God says all the world in its fullness, all of its mine. It says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He said, if I were hungry, which He's not because He's God, but He said, if I were, I wouldn't tell you because all the world and all its fullness is mine. And so there's nothing that we can bring to Him that God has need of. There's some things that He desires us to bring to Him, but there's nothing that He has need of. And so we don't stand here and beg for money, but we stand here with the knowledge that everything we are, and everything that passes through our hands that we are stewards of, it all belongs to Him. Now listen to me tonight. We live in a world full of users and takers. That's just the way it is. And that makes it difficult in this life. Any of you watch that show, Hoarders? You know, you ever watch that? My wife likes that show for some reason. And sometimes when I get a little perturbed at her for the way the house is, you know, or something like that, and I shouldn't do that, by the way, but sometimes when I do, she'll say, well, we're not as bad as those people. And I'm like, yeah, but that's the lowest common denominator. We don't make that our standard, you know. But I look at that show and I think, you know, when a person hoards everything to themselves, they sort of shrivel up and die. We live in a world today of a lot of users and takers. And the more you pull to yourself and the more you say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, the more you sort of shrivel up and die. So I want you to understand this concept that God wants you to know that everything you are, everything you have, it all belongs to Him. When we surrender that to Him, He will work incredibly in our lives. Okay? Now, I want you to listen to these words. If you've got a Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to preach to you what I'm going to preach to my congregation on Sunday morning. And now, a lot of people, believe it or not, people have accused me before of not preaching on giving enough. Sometimes people that do give, they think you ought to beat everybody else up with it. And they say, you don't preach on giving enough. I kind of preach in a peculiar way. I'll take a book and I'll start at verse 1, chapter 1, and I'll preach all the way through verse by verse by verse. And so if I am to a subject in a particular week, I'll preach on it. If I'm not there, I don't preach on it. And so that way it keeps me having integrity in my preaching, and I don't skip over the things I don't like. And I don't always, you know, harp on things that I do like. God keeps me, I guess, on the straight and narrow in my preaching that way. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to be quick tonight, so y'all just hang on. Verse 1, listen to what it says or read along with me. It says, now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal was stirred up. Has stirred up the majority. Now, what he's talking about here, they had some zeal to give. They were going to help the Jerusalem church, who was in great need, with an offering of money. Okay? And he said, you were ready, you had zealous hearts a year ago, and now you're kind of being slow about it. Now, verse 3, it says, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, and not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort or encourage the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows, listen to this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, Jesus, teach us tonight, I pray. Protect us from any mistakes that I might make. And speak to us by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord. Help us tonight get an understanding of this. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Paul is here in verse 1, and he uses a word in the King James or New King James called superfluous. That means he didn't think it was necessary that he should be having to come to them and say this again. He had talked to them about giving already, and he said, why am I having to come and really speak this to you again? But he was there. That was where he was at. That was the subject that he was talking about. And so here's some things that he challenged the Corinthian church to do in regards to giving. First of all, he said, listen, what you have promised, what you were zealous to do a year ago, you need to go ahead and plan for that. He said, otherwise, I'm going to come to you and basically you're going to try to catch up all at one time and you're going to do it in a begrudging way. Okay? Now, when I teach people on giving, and again, it's not always about money. It's a lot. If you got nothing to give monetarily, you can't give anything monetarily. But there's always something when God owns the entirety of your life that you can give. It may be your time, it may be your talent, whatever. But you ought to, as you promise, as you have zeal to give, you ought to plan that giving. When I teach my boys about giving, it does no good for me to teach them how to give and that they ought to give in the service of the Lord if I'm not doing it myself. And so when I look at this, this is a challenge back to me first and foremost that He owns it all and that I ought to be a giver. And if we promise that to the Lord, we ought to follow through. You know, they made verse 2 teaches us that they had made a promise in the midst of their zeal. They were ready. They were excited about it. And He wanted them to be ready. He wanted them to keep their promises. And so in verse 4 and 5, He says basically what you've promised, you need to keep that promise. In verse 4, He says, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared. Now, Macedonians were really poor, and yet they were great givers of the things that they had. They were good stewards. And in verse 5, he goes on and he says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. That means encourage the brethren to go ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand. So as you think about giving and as you get stirred up about it because God has given you so much and you think, what can I give in response to that? You ought to plan. What you promise, you ought to plan, prepare, and then go and do it. Okay? Isn't that true in anything in life? If there is something important, you're going to plan for it. If you're going to give a party, you're going to plan for it. You know, if you're going to put money back for something, that's planning for that thing. If you've got a project, you're going to plan for it. Okay? We do that on anything and everything, but often we sort of give in a haphazard way. And that doesn't mean, when I say plan for it, that doesn't take the Spirit out of the equation. Spirit-led giving ought to have some planning involved. That doesn't mean that you can't give with spontaneity above and beyond what God has called you to. But listen, as the Spirit leads, you can plan and let Him direct that plan. So promised giving ought to be planned giving. Keep that in mind. And when you do that, Paul says, that way when I come to you, you don't do it in a begrudging way. Make it a part of your life. Now, what does that do? It keeps your heart right, doesn't it? keeps your heart right. And that goes into the next point I want to give you tonight, and that's just this, the attitude of giving. Okay? If you plan your giving, then the Spirit will work in that, and the attitude of your giving will be right. Let your heart be right. And listen, on this area of giving, you may have to ask the Lord, Lord, make my heart right on this. But He talks a lot about the heart here. A heart being zealous. He said you had zeal in this. A generous heart, not by grudging obligation, but generous. A purposeful heart. If you listen back to verse 7 again, what does it say? So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So it's purposeful. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Listen to this next part. For God loves a cheerful giver. So it ought to come from a cheerful heart as well. Now that word cheerful is interesting. Because in our English, we don't quite get it in the same way as it is in the original language. But in the original language, the word is hilaros. And we get the word hilarious from that. Okay? So when he's saying be a cheerful giver, it's like he's saying be a hilarious giver. You know, what does that mean? When something is hilarious, doesn't it just kind of bubble out of you? You know, it means to be giddy. It means to just have some, just some happiness in your heart, some merriness in your heart. You're sort of bubbling over with thankfulness. It's hilarious almost. You know, when I was a kid, we weren't supposed to laugh in church. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Not supposed to laugh in church. You've been around church very long. There's some hilarious things that go on in the life of the church. You know, I remember getting in trouble one time because something happened that was funny. There was a lady that was there. She'd taken her grandchild, I guess, back to the bathroom and changed diaper or whatever. I don't know what it was. But, you know, I was a little kid and things would just strike me as funny and it'd just bubble out of me, you know. And I couldn't help it. I got in so much trouble that morning. But she came back down the aisle, and when she had picked up her grandchild, when she had pulled the grandchild up, she got the foot of her grandchild stuck in the bottom of her dress, and she pulled up. She comes walking down the aisle, and her dress is all the way up. Now, you take a little kid, and you tell him not to laugh about that. You know? I mean, that's pretty stinking hilarious, you know? That's funny. And I couldn't control it. It just came out of me. Now, that's a bad illustration, but can I tell you, just like when something's really funny and you can't control your laughter, Paul is saying here, with your giving, let it just bubble up out of you, almost in a hilarious way, to be cheerful. And he says, be a cheerful giver. It's an attitude of the heart. And so I hope that your heart is given over to the Lord, surrendered to Him, so that God is in control and working in your heart. There's an attitude of giving as well as a plan of giving. And then finally, and I'm gonna go pretty quickly through some of these, but finally, there's harvest giving. And then this is so awesome right here. And again, I'm not just speaking in terms monetarily here, because some folk will tell you, you know, you just give and God will give you all kinds of money back. Can I tell you that's not been the case in my life? And I don't think my faith is defective for that. God has so bountifully blessed my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my pockets aren't full of money.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this week, we had about a week till payday. My wife and I looked at each other and were like, man, we're going to have to work to stretch this out. Because she's a stay-at-home mom, and I got three boys to feed. And some paydays just seem a long time coming. But you know what? God is always faithful. He is faithful. And you see, here's a promise. Here is a law from Scripture that we need to understand. It is harvest giving. Now listen attentively here to verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's a promise from the Word of God right there. So when you think of giving in terms of everything that is in my life, just like everything that is in the world, belongs to Almighty God. And as He makes me a steward of those things that He puts in my hands, if I just realize it all belongs to Him, and then I sow it into the kingdom, man, He is just going to rain down blessing upon you. And there is no telling. Don't cheapen it by saying, oh, it would just be money coming back to me. There's no telling what God will do in your life. Harvest giving, okay? And now listen, let me caution you here. I'm not saying that you ought to have the motive of I give in order to get. That would be selfish. That would be outside the spirit of proper giving. You ought to give to glorify God and meet needs in the ministry. But as a result of properly motivated giving, God will bring a harvest into your life. And we see it in Scripture from New Testament here to Old Testament. Go back to Proverbs 11, 24 through 26, and you can just listen to this. But it says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. So what is Solomon saying there? He's saying the one that holds it loosely, the one that lets it go, he increases all the more in his life. I had a friend named Roger Langley one time. Roger was the most interesting of people because stuff just didn't matter to Roger. When I met him, he had a job that was paying him all of about $12,000 a year. And they gave him room and board, and he was working at a children's ranch, Ware's Valley Children's Ranch, right that bordered the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. And he and his wife worked there, and basically they got their room and board, they got fed, and they got just a little bit of a salary. And that was it. I mean, they were just dirt poor. And stuff just didn't mean a lot to him. And there was one instance where he had taken in a homeless family. He was working, I think, at a Walmart. And he decided he would let this family come live with him. They lived with him for 2 weeks. And he said it seemed to be going well. He got home from work one night, and he opened the door, and all his stuff was gone. And I guess they were thankful enough for his hospitality that they left him his wicker Papasan chair, you know, those big things like that you sit in, and his 13-inch black and white television. And that's all they left him. He said, I walked in, and if you know him, his expression never changed. He just looked around the room, and he said, I went over and I sat down in my chair, and I started watching TV, and when I was tired, I turned it off. I went to bed and I slept, and the next morning I got up, I loaded up my chair, I loaded up my television, and I moved across country. And that's Roger. That's him. And he treated that situation the same as when his father-in-law died, who was a surgeon up in Oregon and was very wealthy and left them a lot of money. He treated that situation the same. We were walking along the beach in Oregon one day with he and his wife, Brenda, and I didn't realize their situation had changed. And all of a sudden, Roger looks at me and he said, this is mine and Brenda's spot. And I said, man, Roger, that's great. Everybody needs a romantic place to come to, you know. And he's like, his expression didn't change. He's like, no, this is our spot. We own this beach. And like pine trees coming down to it. I mean, there's no telling what that was worth. You know, like, what do you mean you own this beach? And he was like, well, Brenda's dad had died. He left us this. He treated it all the same. He told me something one time. He said, Ivy, he said, if you will get this in life, he said, if you will hold your possessions loosely, you won't be heartbroken when they're taken away.
Yeah.
You know, he understood, he had perspective of what it was to realize that God owned it all, including him. So he could be okay when he was dirt poor. He could be okay when he was rich. He didn't let it go to his head. He didn't let it ruin him. There is one, this back to Proverbs, there is one who scatters and yet he increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right. He holds it to himself, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. It is the law of sowing and reaping. It is harvest giving. Sow sparingly, and you reap sparingly. But you sow bountifully, just like Leland said, you cannot outgive God. And God will supply your every need. Did it hit you when I read through verse? I read through a lot of verses, and you need to go back and read this later. But man, in verse 8, when he comes down there and he said, and God is able, man, do we doubt that? God is able to make, listen to the alls, a little three-letter word, all. God is able to make all grace abound toward you.
Yeah.
And what is grace but the riches of Christ flowing down from Him through us as He influences us and then we reach out to others and minister to others? That's grace, the riches of God. God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's harvest giving right there. When you decide it doesn't all belong to you, it all belongs to God. Man, your life will be blessed beyond measure. He can do it all. God will set up the spiritual return. God will determine the increase as you disperse it abroad, as it says here. You see, it's reward in God's timing. It is reward according to his kingdom principles. You see, Paul was dirt poor as well. 2 Corinthians 6 and 10, Paul kind of gives this contradiction. He's a walking contradiction. But he understood this idea of God owns it all. And he says in verse 10, he said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You see, he understood what it was to truly be rich. And that was surrendering all to God. The law of harvest giving. There's a illustration of a group that went to went over to the African continent, and I've been blessed to go over there a bunch and work with groups over there, and I'm always amazed at the things I see. And it wasn't in the same country that I go to, but there was a group that went over there, and they worked with them on their farming, and they had a difficult time, as the story goes. I wish I remember which country it was and which group, but I don't. They had a difficult time when they brought in the grain, the seed. A difficult time that people wanted to eat that. And they had to explain, no, you put this in the ground. You know, if you want to reap a harvest, you've got to put it in the ground. And yes, you're hungry, and yes, that will meet your immediate need. But if you eat it now, you will never realize the harvest. If you hold it to yourself, if you hoard it to yourself, then you will just, with clenched fist, you will shrivel up and die. God wants you to be a giver. And there's a law here in place. Don't eat the seed. Put the seed into God's kingdom work, and you will be blessed beyond measure. And as I preach it to you, I fight it in myself. I fight the consumerism. I fight all the want stuff that this world has to offer. Every time I get in my 14-year-old pickup, I think, I'd like a new one. I don't need a new one. That one runs just fine. But I want a new one, God, but you don't need a new one. You know? We have driven some clunkers. It'd be nice to have something else. Don't need it. That's just one example. You know, I don't need a nicer and bigger house. You know what? God has placed me in my neighborhood. One of my neighbors is moving because the wrong kind of people have moved on our block. Oh man, what a tragedy. What a tragedy that is. And God has opened up ministry on that block. We have kids that come down and pile in our old vehicles every week as we head to church. That's not to pat ourselves on the back, but you see, God is allowing us a harvest to come off that block. I don't need a new place to live just so I can live by people that have manicured lawns. Nothing wrong if you manicure your lawn, that's fine. But I don't need to move to get a nicer house, to live in a nicer neighborhood so I can feel better about myself. I need to stay put right where I'm at because God has made, there's a need there. And God has placed me there in this time. For such a time as this. I don't want to eat the seed in my life. Oh, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Listen, it does something to you as the giver when you give. It does something to the recipients as well. The last part of this, I don't know if you caught it or not, but the church in Jerusalem was singing their praises. They were praying for them. It gave them camaraderie. They prayed for one another. God was doing a work in the church overall, and it was just an incredible time. Okay? So when you think about giving, I want you just to think on those things. You ought to plan it in your life. You ought to have the right attitude. You ought to be a cheerful giver. It ought to be just bubbling out of you. And you ought to go into it with the thought, I'm going to plant the seed and then see what God does. And ultimately, it's for His honor and His glory. We live in a world of users and takers. I get people all the time. I get calls all the time. People coming by the church all the time. And they're wanting. Sometimes there's a great need, and sometimes people are just working the system. I know that. I see that all the time. But listen, God has said, get in there and try to do what you can. And I'll direct you. As God directs, when you find people in need, families in need, ministries in need, it is a blessed thing to be able to give. And you know what will make giving right in your life? Remembering and then acting upon, what does this last verse say here? Man, do you remember? Verse 15, Thanks be to God for what? For His indescribable gift. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. Who's the greatest giver of all? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we're going to be transformed to look like God, to look like Jesus, we're going to become givers too. And He was the greatest giver of all. Oh, He loves you passionately. Every single one of you. And He wants and desires relationship with you. And He gave His Son on the cross so you could be saved. A free gift. And all you have to do is just reach out and take it. Just ask for it. Oh, I'm a sinner. Romans 3:23 points right at me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Romans 5:8 says that. He died on the cross to pay all the penalty, the punishment for my sin. And all I've got to do is ask. It says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. Do you understand it all belongs to God? And when you hold it loosely and you sow it into His kingdom, oh, what a glorious benefit. But first of all, listen to me tonight. You've got to know Him because He's the greatest giver of all. And He gave His Son for you. Would you ask Him into your heart tonight? In the quietness of this place, we'll give an invitation here in just a second. In the quietness of this place, just make this your prayer. There's nothing magic about these words. Don't just repeat them, but make it yours and pray it to God. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, He wants to do that tonight. And it's no accident that you're here. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Now, Lord, I turn to You and I ask You to save me. Just if you don't get the words just right, it's okay. He'll see your heart. I ask You to save me, God. Be my Savior. I give my life to You. Let's pray it to Him. Thank You, Jesus, for being the greatest giver of all. Now help us, Lord, to reach out to others and be the givers that we're supposed to be. I thank You, my Jesus, and we give it all to You now. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, if you will. I'm going to turn it back over to Leland here. And if you have a decision to make tonight, if you got saved, if you prayed that prayer, you come on. Let one of these counselors know. Let Leland know. If you just need prayer tonight, we'll give you this opportunity, Leland.
While Charles sings, if you prayed that prayer, you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I'm going to ask you to come and tell me. I asked Jesus into my heart this very night. Would you just walk down here and say, Leland, I did that. See, He died publicly for you. Would you trust Him publicly? Would you do it? While Charles is singing. Anyone else? Do what God wants you to do. I trusted Christ tonight. Would you come? Thank you very much. for those that said, I trusted Christ tonight. Brother, I've always got a message for us. And I'm going to tell you, there's a big difference between a message and a sermon. A lot of sermons. I like a message. The key is giving. And I never realized that for so many years of my life, because I just wanted to get. And I didn't realize that happiness came from giving. And I appreciate what he said. It's not about the money. It's about you. If I was rewarded for the money I give, I don't get much reward. But it's just giving of yourself. For those that did trust Christ tonight, and if you did and didn't come forward, on that table where that purple box is, we have some little booklets, some little manuals that say, what have I done, and then what do I do now? But what have I done goes back over this plan of salvation, those scriptures that Ivy talked about, where you can sit down in privacy and with your Bible and go back over. And if you don't have a Bible, before you leave tonight, you let me know and I'll see you get one. We'll give you one. And then it says, what do I do now? And it goes over some things that are going to take place. New Christians, you just got enlisted. You just got drafted into a warfare. And so that will go over some of those things for you. Appreciate you being here. The bar's going to be open again. All the goodies. I know some of you guys just got here in time to get in here and didn't have time to get anything to drink. We're going to have that. All of that's over. Thank you again for being here. God bless you. See you Saturday morning if we can. Have a great day.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions at rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.